Brahmacharya Siddharida Chatur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Bhishmashtami means eighth. The Ashtami is eighth, and Bhishma is the eighth day in which, this is the day in which Bhishma appeared. So Bhishma is a very important person in the Mahabharata sequence, and I'll describe exactly how he appeared, why he appeared, what he did, and some of the interesting pastimes that occurred around his appearance. So once upon a time, many, many years ago, there were these eight celestial beings called the Vasus. These Vasus, they had eight wives. Not each one had eight wives, but each one had a wife, so that's eight Vasus, eight wives. So these Vasus were visiting the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, the great sage Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha Muni is well known because he performs many sacrifices and has this nice cow called the Kamadhenu that supplies unlimited milk and whatever else he wants. Kama means desire. Dhenu means the provider, or the cow, the desire cow, just like you have Kalpa Vriksha, which is desire tree, so you have desire cow. So what happened is that this Kamadhenu gave such wonderful milk that if someone drank the milk, they would remain eternally, not eternally, but a long time, young. They would never get old or wrinkles or gray hair or anything like that. And so one of the Vasus, his name was Jal, and his wife had a friend on the earth planet. See, in the heavenly planets, they don't get wrinkles or old or anything like that. But in the earth planet, they do. So this lady, the wife of Jal, was thinking of her friend. He said, my poor friend, lady friend, she's getting old and she's getting wrinkles. I want to get her some of this milk and get her the milk from the Kamadhenu. So as she nagged her husband, she started nagging her husband, and she said, my dear husband, you have to get this Kamadhenu for my friend. And her husband, being a very obedient soul, he said, yes, ma'am, or yes, boss. And he stole the Kamadhenu. And so that started a lot of trouble because no one is more powerful than Vasishtha Muni, because he's a great pure devotee of the Lord. He has all the mystic powers, all the weapons. He's a great Brahmin. There's many stories that he defeated Viswamitra Muni. And finally, Viswamitra Muni became a Brahmin just so he could become friends with Vasishtha Muni. So Vasishtha Muni got very angry, and he basically cursed the Vasus because they all cooperated in the theft of the Kamadhenu. He cursed the Vasus to take birth on the earth planet. Now, most of us think, oh, what's so bad about that? Especially if we were born in America or you know, have all the latest gadgets, the iPad, iPod, iPhone, whatever. But actually, Earth planet life, I mean, it's a mixed blessing. And of course, one gets a chance to partake in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But still, it's not something the demigods desire because there's so many problems. Just like today, one of our devotees is going for an operation. You know, Mother Tulsa is going for an operation. They have to cut out little things in her intestines. They're called polyps. So it's not a pleasant experience. And we've seen so many devotees have operations, so many people die an unpleasant death. And so people don't want to come down to the earth planet. It's not a nice place as far as like health is concerned. So therefore, the Vasus, we're telling a story of Grandfather Bhishma today, because it's Bhishmashtami. We're not telling a story of hospitals. So the Vasus, they said, please, we don't want to come down to this earth planet. Please, save us, save us. And Vasishtha Muni said, all right, we'll make a deal. That instead of all of you having to come down to the earth planet and live a full life on the earth planet, the one who is most responsible, being nagged by his wife, that's Jal, should take the lifespan of all of you Yeah, because Grandfather Bhishma lived for like almost 200 years. You take the lifespan of all of you, and you'll come down to the Earth planet, but you'll be killed or die shortly after birth. And so the other Vasus, the seven Vasus, were very much relieved by this benediction or mitigation of the curse that Vasishtha Muni gave. And so they said, thank God, and Zhao, he said, wow, I got to live a long lifetime on the Earth planet. So they were thinking, these Vasus, who can be our mother? Because they didn't just want any old lady to be their mother. So they were thinking, actually, Ganga Devi would be a good mother. And at the same time, as they were thinking that, something else very interesting happened, that Ganga Devi was in the assembly of Lord Brahma. At the same time, there was this king, Mahabish, who just arrived up in the heavenly planets because he had been a very pious king and performed many sacrifices. And so he was also sitting in the assembly. And it's a kirtan. They just don't know how to play the cartel. So he was sitting in the assembly, and Ganga Devi walks in, and there happens to be a little breeze. And somehow or other her dress or whatever they'd wear up there just blew in one direction, and, you know, part of her body was revealed. And the other demigods, you know, and, you know, this is not the rule. You're not supposed to stare. Staring is not considered, it's not actually considered nice. I mean, like in India, if you start staring, that's like a declaration of war. Also, if you're walking around Govardhan and you stare at a monkey, the monkey will attack you. That's one thing you learn when you're dealing with monkeys. You don't look at them. Or you look at it in the corner of the eye, not directly. It's like with any animal, it's a challenge. Like if you look at them. So this is polite society, it's etiquette, even amongst monkeys. So this Mahabish, he started to stare at Ganga Devi. Wow. Because he had just recently arrived. He was a newbie in the heavenly planets. And so he stared at her, and Lord Brahma got very angry because he was violating the etiquette. And Lord Brahma said, you have to take birth on the Earth planet. And you're going to take birth in the Earth planet. And because Ganga Devi sort of liked it, you know, that he was staring at her. You know, because in the heavenly planets they don't stare, but, you know, sometimes people like to be seen. You know, some of the ladies, if you wear all the jewelry and ornaments and nobody looks at you, it's kind of frustrating, isn't it? You know, they like to show it off. Obviously, you know, what do you put it on for? Not just for yourself. So, and sometimes men are like that too. You know, you see sometimes the men, they walk in like the sun, you know, they act like the sun god. We even had one sannyasi who acted like the sun god at a particular time. He's not a sannyasi anymore. We used to call him the sun god. He walked in like that, all spiffed out. So then, therefore, Ganga Devi wanted to take birth on the Earth planet too. So they were leaving the assembly, and as they were leaving, they ran into the Vasus, who had previously been cursed. Remember the story about Vasishtha? And Vasus said to Ganga Devi, please become our mommy. Please become our mother. And Ganga Devi, because it was already preordained, she would come down to the Earth planet, she agreed to this whole thing that she would become the mother. And she would kill them. They said, please become our mommy and kill us right after we're born. Interesting request. You know, please kill us after we're born. Except for, you know, this one brother, Zhao. He has to remain alive for a long time. All right, so then what happened is that Mahabish was born or appeared as Shantanu, a great personality in the Yadu dynasty, descendant of Yadu, who was one of the sons of Yayati. That's a story in the Bhagavatam. You know, Yayati had all these sons, and then he was cursed to become old prematurely because he had a relationship with Sarmishta rather than just with his wife, Devyani. And then he got back his youth from Puru, And then, but Yadu, he knew that the Krishna was going to appear in his dynasty. Anyway, so that's why it's called the Yadu dynasty, in relationship to the son of Yayati. Everyone understands that? The story's there in the Bhagavatam. So then what happened is that Shantanu was walking along the Ganges River. He was in a hunting excursion. And then out of the Ganges River comes this extremely gorgeous girl. And that was, of course, Ganga Devi. And he looks at her. And he says, wow. Because remember, previously he had stared at Ganga Devi when she was in the heavenly planets. So it was just like a continuation of the same thing. He just became stunned. Actually, one thing about the heavenly planets is quite interesting. They don't blink. That's how you can tell if someone's a demigod. You know, they don't blink. You know, their eyes don't blink. It's interesting. And, of course, the gopis also wanted eyes that didn't blink, too, so they could see Krishna all the time. So the demigod's eyes don't blink. And they also don't stand on the ground, other things like that. So there's different symptoms if you come across someone who declares himself to be a demigod. So then he fell in love with her. This Shantanu, he fell in love with Ganga Devi. And he said, let's get married. It was love at first sight. Let's get married. And let's have a Gandharva marriage. Gandharva marriage is where you exchange the garlands and immediately you're married. That does away with that whole thing. Just like we saw the marriage the other day between Adichina Narayan and Radha Radhika. That was a long marriage. Several days, everyone was exhausted. And the final day, like he said, he got to sleep at 2 in the morning, had to go like a 2 or 3 hour trip the next day, so the marriage would start at 9 or 10 the next morning. That's exhausting. So Gandharva marriage is quite efficient. Not very expensive, just the cost of one garland. So they exchanged, anyway, so he said, let's get married. And she said, okay, you know, I'm also attracted to you, but let's make a deal. It's called pre-nuptial contract. Let's make a deal before the marriage that I will only stay with you as long as you agree with everything I do. And he thought, this is just some cute words. You know, it's not really a problem. You know, he said, all right, I agree to this particular thing. So they got married, and they started having children. And as we know, every child that she had, or they had, she immediately immersed in the Ganges River and killed the child. I mean, that's pretty heavy. So Shantanu, because he made this promise, he really just had to restrain himself, seeing all of his sons being killed. You know, she would just like take the kid and just throw it into the river. And Shantanu went, oh, I don't want her to leave me. But, you know, I don't want her to kill the kid. So he's just like biting his lip the whole time. Eventually, when it came time for Bhishma, who was actually called Devavrata in the beginning. Bhishma was later given to him as an appellation because that means one who takes a terrible vow, which we'll describe in a second. So when it came time for Devavrata to be born, the eighth child, Shantanu couldn't stand it any longer, and he just said, stop! What are you doing? And she said, you disagreed with me. First time in a marriage, you know. That means they were married at least like 8 or 10 years without any disagreement. The ladies would love that. You know, 8 or 10 years and no arguments? That's a first in human history, in the annals of human history. So she said, you know, I'm out of here and I'm taking my kid with me. Now, I'm not going to kill him, but I'm going to take him with me. So she took Devavrata with her. And he was educated because she was Ganga Devi from the heavenly planets. So he was educated by some heavenly exalted personalities. It's described in the Mahabharata that he learned politics from Brihaspati, the Vedic literatures from Vasishta. And it's very interesting because Vasishta was the one who cursed him to come down. You know, that's interesting. Yeah. And then also fighting from Parashuram, all the weapons from Parashuram. So then when he was grown up, his mother delivered him to his father. And then his mother disappeared because his father didn't really have anything to do, or Shantanu didn't have anything to do with Ganga Devi again as far as the marriage situation. He somehow or other got lonely at that point. And we'll find out what happened because of that loneliness. So later on, Shantanu was so pleased with Devavrata, he was so pleased with him that he made him the Yuvaraj, which means the heir apparent. Heir apparent means that's going to be the next king. That's what it means. He's going to become the next king. And so everybody was very happy in the kingdom that Devavrata is going to become the next king because he was very qualified. He showed his qualification he was able to go out and defeat the enemy many times, do so many wonderful things, even though he was only like 19 or 20 years old at that point after his education. So, but then another thing happened with Shantanu. You know, Shantanu, who was Mahabishnu before, really did have a problem with controlling his senses. Whether he was on the heavenly planets or whether he was on the earth planet. So Shantanu, another time, was by the river, and he saw this lady, Satyavati, who was rowing. Basically, she was a fisherman's daughter. Actually, she wasn't. I'll describe what I mean by that. She was a fisherman's daughter, and she was rowing the boat, you know, taking passengers from one side of the river to the other. She was actually the daughter of King Vasu on the earth planet, because the king, it's an interesting story. The king was missing his wife one time when he was out hunting, and some genetic material he wanted to send back to his wife, but then a bird ate it. A bird took it, not ate it. And that genetic material fell into a fish. And as a result, there was a baby inside a fish, you know, a human baby inside a fish. And so, that story is the Mahabharata. It's an interesting story. The human baby inside a fish, you know, a girl. So when the fisherman caught a fish one time, he opened the fish up and he found a little baby in there. Doesn't happen that often. But he found a little baby, and so he adopted her. But because she spent so long in the fish, you know, I guess that was the embryo, the fish embryo, whatever, she really smelled bad. She smelled like a fish. If any of you walk through a fish market, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, and nowadays in America, they don't have too many fish markets. You know, you go into Whole Foods or something like that, and the fish are in plastic bags or packages or something like that. But if you go to India, the fish market, if you go within like 1 kilometer of a fish market, you want to throw up. So she had a really bad smell. But by the time Shantanu came in touch with her, she had a good smell. She was called Ganda Yojana. I mean, for eight, Yojana is 8 miles, and Ganda means a nice smell. So she had a nice smell for 8 miles because previously she had had that encounter with Parashara Muni on the river. The Parashara Muni saw her and he gave her the benediction after they had Vyasadeva's son. She was also the mother of Vyasadeva. He gave her the benediction that she would have a good smell. So her fishy smell was gone by that time. So it's an interesting story. So then what happened is that Shantanu fell in love with her. And he went to her father because that was the proper procedure. Her father was a fisherman. Actually, as I said, he's not the real father, like adopted father. She went to the father and said, "I want to marry your daughter." And the fisherman said, "There's a problem that you have another son, and that son will naturally become the king. That's called the law of primogeniture. Primogeniture, genitor means to be born, primo means first. That means usually the firstborn, if he's qualified, will become the king. You know, he's the Yuvaraj, he's the heir apparent. So Shantanu, he thought, I'm in love, madly in love with this girl. I got to marry her. But I can't take away the position from Devavrata, who later on became Bhishma. I can't take away his position because the people will criticize me for being a lusty dog. You know, he's concerned with his reputation. You don't imagine you just like get married to someone else and you say to your son who is so qualified, you know, you cannot become king now because I'm in love with this other girl. So he didn't want to do that. So it was caught in the horns of a dilemma. Dilemma means, you know, you have a choice, and either choice is really bad. You know, one choice would be to reject the idea of marrying Satyavati, and he couldn't tolerate that. And the other choice would be to take away Bhishma or Devavrata's position. So he was caught, you know, I can't do either one, and if I do nothing, I lose in every respect. You know, that's caused a lot of stress and depression and everything like that. So there's a whole theory of psychology based on conflicts, that people have psychological problems because of conflicts. So anyway, so he had a psychological problem. He went into a deep depression, I mean, because of that conflict. And all day long, he was just, you know, he couldn't get out of bed, basically. And Devavrata, his son, who was later Bhishma, kept asking him, you know, Dad, what's wrong with you? And his father just said, you know, I have a cold, you know, give me some herbs. Like that, I don't know, some chest ailment, I'm just tired, you know. So I need some more energy. And so, but Devavrata understood that, you know, something was going on with his father. So he asked his father's prime minister, charioteer or whatever, and he said, you know, what's happening with Dad? He's depressed all the time. I've never seen him like this before. And so the charioteer or the prime minister said to Devavrata, the reason he's like that is that he's in love. Dad's in love. And you know, I mean, I've experienced the same thing with my father, too. So this is just life. So that so he was in love, and he can't get the object of his love. It's just like unreachable. And feeling separation from Satyavati is considered a moment to be like 12 years or more. Like, tears are coming from his eyes like torrents of rain. Anyway, so he was completely depressed. And so Devavrata, being a good son, said, you know, I'm going to take care of this. So he rode to where the fisherman was. And he said, my dear Matsyaraj, means king of the fishermen, or kingfish, as the case may be. Matsya. Matsya means fish. Did you know that? Raj means king. That's why we have Matsya Avatar. So he said, my dear Matsyaraj, I want my father to marry your daughter. And one of the first instances, a son became a matchmaker for his father. And so Matsyaraj said to him, he said, but, you know, the problem is you're going to become the next king, and I want her son to become the next king. And so Grandfather Bhishma, or Devavrata, sorry, he said, I take a vow that I will renounce the kingdom. And so the fisherman said, well, there's a problem, too, that you're going to have a son, and your son's going to want to take the kingdom. And so Devavrata said, I renounce marriage. I'll be Akanda Brahmachari. Akanda means unbroken Brahmachari. And all the demigods, they became so amazed at hearing this, they gave him the name Bhishma, which means terrible vow. Terrible promise, and they rained down flowers and everything, and everybody cheered because they understood what was happening. And therefore, he took Satyavati with him to his father's palace, and he said, Dad, I have a present for you. And his father looked up and said, wow, how'd you get this? You know, the best Christmas present his father ever had. And so his father asked him, and Bhishma at that time, that was his name at that point, he said, gave the whole story, you know, how he got it. And his father said, but you gave up the kingdom and everything like that. And he said, I'm devoted to you. You know, whatever's for your welfare, I will accept that. And his father became so pleased that he gave Bhishma the benediction of being able to live as long as he liked. He wouldn't die unless he wanted to die. And that's why later on he was on the bed of arrows, and he was able to stay alive in spite of being pierced through every portion of his body with arrows. I mean, one arrow is enough to kill any of us, especially in the heart or anywhere else. I mean, you don't just walk around without. It's described, there wasn't even like a finger's breadth between the arrows. That's how many arrows there were. You know, finger's breadth? I mean, the distance of a finger between all the arrows in the body. That's pretty painful. Of course, by Krishna's mercy, the pain went away. So Shantanu blessed him. And Bhishma at that time vowed to always see his father and whoever was the king. In other words, to always be obedient, because in those days, people were obedient to their fathers. So to always see his father and whoever took over the kingdom after his father passed away. So then his father had this marriage with Satyavati, and the girl of my dreams. And as a result, two children were born. That's Vichitravirya and Chitrangada. And what happened is that, of course, then his father at that time had passed away. Shantanu at that time had passed away. And so, but there were two boys being brought up, and Bhishma was taking care of them, and Satyavati, the mother, was also taking care of them. So Chitrangada died because he was fighting with a Gandharva, the same name. You know, they challenged, you have the same name as me. No, it's my name. No, it's my name. You know, they were arguing back and forth, and he was killed by the Gandharva, Chitrangada. And then the Chitravirya, he lived. However, he needed a wife. So Bhishma, being naturally very compassionate upon Vichitravirya, he was just a young boy at that time, you know, something like 16 or 17. He thought, I'm going to get some wives for this guy. And so he went to Kashi, and he kidnapped the three daughters of the king of Kashi, who were the famous Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika, which means Amba, little Amba, and very little Amba. Anyway, there were three nice girls. And then there's the Amba story, that Amba actually, the oldest one, had previously fallen in love with Shalva and wanted to marry Shalva, and Shalva wanted to marry her. So by the time Bhishma brought these three girls back, Amba actually reveals, actually, you know, I'm in love with someone else. And Bhishma sent her back. He said, all right, you know, that's the proper thing. But Shalva, being a king, he said, you know, you've been with Bhishma too long. You know, this is not respectful. So you just go back. You should marry Bhishma. So she went back, and she said to Bhishma, you're supposed to marry me. And Bhishma said, no, I'm a Kanda Brahmachari. Plus, I'm not going to marry someone who hates me. Because, you know, I ruined your whole plan to marry Shalva. You know, so the worst thing in the world is to marry your enemy. So he said, no way. And so she became very angry at that point, and she wanted to cause the death of Bhishma or force Bhishma to marry her. So eventually she even went to Parashuram, who was related, who was a friend of her uncle. That's how she got in touch with Parashuram. And Parashuram and Bhishma had this fight for 23 days because Bhishma refused to follow the order of his guru to get married. That's the one order you can disobey. So he refused to follow that order to get married. And so they were fighting. And finally it was a draw. I mean, in the movie it showed that Bhishma could have killed Parashuram, but that's not actually how the Mahabharata says. It was a draw because Bhishma didn't want to embarrass his spiritual master, and nobody won. And so Parashuram was very pleased with Bhishma for his fighting, and therefore Amba decided on another technique. She started to worship Lord Shiva to get the ability to be born in the next life to kill Bhishma. And Amba was benedicted like that. that she could be born as a boy and be able to kill Bhishma. So what happened is the next life, just to get a little ahead of the thing, Amba was born as a girl who was actually, I know it was Shikhandi was the boy, Shikhandini was the girl. He was born as a girl, but Lord Shiva had previously told his father, Drupada, that he would have a son. And so Drupada had so much faith in Lord Shiva, he just raised this little girl, Shikhandini, as a boy. You know, dressed him up as a boy, her up as a boy, and everything like that, and no dolls or anything. Just like guns, not guns, but arrows and bows and everything like that. And so he even arranged for Shikhandini to marry a girl. You know, and that was before they had the laws that they have in the United States where two girls can get married and two boys can get married, or, you know, two dogs can get married, whatever. So that was before that. So he arranged a marriage, and so there was a big marriage between Shikhandini and another girl. And, you know, after the marriage, the girl that Shikhandini had married discovered that she had married another girl. And so she went to her father, complained about the whole thing, and her father got ready to basically attack Drupada and kill him. And Shikhandini got so upset that she was the cause of all this distress between her father and another king that she went to commit suicide. Just to end her life, you know, just too much for me. And so while she was doing that, she ran into this yaksha. The yaksha's name is Stunakarna. And the yaksha said, felt sorry, said, I'm going to exchange my manhood with your femininity. So he exchanged. He said, just for a short time until, you know, you can at least show you're a man. After that, you can just make believe you're a man. But what happened is that after they exchanged it, the yaksha had an encounter with Kuvera, because Kuvera is in charge of the yakshas. And Kuvera got so upset that this yaksha had done this that he cursed the yaksha to remain as a woman until Shikhandi died. Because so then Shikhandini became Shikhandi, okay? And so this is, Shikhandi was the cause of death of Grandfather Bhishma, the cause of defeat, not the actual cause of death. Then later on, of course, Grandfather Bhishma brought up the Pandavas. There's a whole bunch of stories like that, and he loved the Pandavas and the Kurus, and he was very devoted to Dharma and his promise. You know, he was very strict in keeping his promise. And then of course, there's that other story. I just left out the other story that when Vitra Treviria, who had married these other girls, these two other girls, Ambika and Ambalika, he died because he was just very young and he just was madly in love with the girls and enjoying sense gratification, and he just, like, died. And so Bhishma was asked by Satyavati to have a relationship with Vitra Treviria's wives, Ambika and Ambalika, and Bhishma refused, and Vyasadeva was brought to have a relationship. And as a result, you had Pandu and Dhritarashtra being born. But that's a different story, which we don't have time to tell right now because the time is running out. So anyway, let's fast forward to the Battle of Kurukshetra. During the Battle of Kurukshetra, Grandfather Bhishma was the commander-in-chief, but he didn't fight seriously with Arjuna, so Duryodhana was taunting him all the time. You know, you're just like, you wouldn't kill him. So Bhishma took out these five golden arrows and imbued his potency, you know, his martial potency into the five arrows and said, I'm going to kill the Pandavas tomorrow with these five arrows. That's my vow. So Duryodhana thought, you know, we got to keep those arrows safe. So he put them in his own tent so that nobody would, you know, Krishna wouldn't pull any tricks. But Krishna had a trick. So Krishna came with Arjuna to Duryodhana's tent, and Arjuna had previously been promised a boon by Duryodhana, because Arjuna had saved Duryodhana from the Gandharvas when he was kidnapped earlier. And so Arjuna asked for the boon. He said, please give me the five arrows back. And so they took the arrows, and then the next day Duryodhana went to Bhishma and said, you got to get five more arrows. And Bhishma said, I've already put all my potency in this five. I can't do it again. This is Krishna's arrangement. But I'll give you one promise that I'll either kill Arjuna tomorrow or Krishna will be forced to break his promise to defend Arjuna. You know, one of the two things happened. So I'll show. So in other words, he was showing that Krishna would break his promise if Bhishma wouldn't break his promise for a higher purpose. But Krishna would always break his promise for a higher purpose. So then there's the final battle, not the final battle, but the battle between Bhishma and Arjuna, and Bhishma was fighting so enthusiastically and so determinedly that Arjuna's bowstring kept being broken, the chariot was, you know, practically disabled, and so Bhishma was, in one sense, going to be able to defeat Arjuna. And Krishna got so angry at Bhishma at that time, he grabbed the chariot wheel and rushed at Bhishma. And that's the vision that Bhishma wished to have when he was basically leaving the body, as the Supreme Lord breaks his promise to protect his devotee. Hmm. So that's a famous... There's many pictures of that, too. Finally, the next day, Krishna revealed to Arjuna how to defeat Bhishma. He said that Bhishma will not fight with any lady on the battlefield. So... therefore, they decided to bring out Shikhandi, who was previously a lady. So Shikhandi was there in Arjuna's chariot, right in front of Arjuna's, the sword of the shield. And when Bhishma saw that, he said, "How can you bring a lady out of the battlefield? This is improper." And Arjuna said, "This is not a lady. This is a man. And he wants to fight with you." And Bhishma knew that that was previously Amba. And so he just put his bow down, and Arjuna was able to keep firing the arrows until Bhishma's body was completely filled with arrows, and Bhishma lay down on the bed of arrows. There's famous pictures. There's many pictures of that, too. And Bhishma remained alive and conscious until the sun started its northern journey. That's the solstice that occurs around December 23rd. You know, in the beginning of December, you have the Gita Jayanti. So December 23rd was when, the solstice, you know, when actually becomes winter is when Bhishma left. So so then what happened is during that time, even after the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma was lying on this bed of arrows, and Krishna had blessed him that his mind would always be clear and he wouldn't be experiencing pain. So he was able to impart amazing instructions to Yudhisthira, and that's, of course, in the final portion of the, one of the final portions of the Mahabharata, where he's telling Yudhisthira about politics, spiritual life, and all the different varieties of knowledge that Bhishma was privy to. So Grandfather Bhishma, he's a great devotee of the Lord. He's considered a Mahajana. And today is his appearance. We're celebrating his appearance. No fasting today. Okay. All glories to His divine grace. Shilabhaupad, Shilabhaupad.